Suns Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off here in the Washington area, where two of the biggest and most popular European football clubs, Arsenal and Real Madrid, will play a marquee preseason friendly match. It's part of the International Champions Cup tournament, a series of preseason friendlies between top clubs taking place at neutral venues across the globe. Joining us now with a preview of Arsenal-Real Madrid is Brown Daily Herald sports writer and VOA intern Ryan Handel. Sporty greetings, Ryan.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Tonight, football giants Arsenal and Real Madrid will do battle at FedEx Field here in Washington, D.C. FedEx Field, one of the largest stadiums in the United States, holds 82,000 fans and normally serves as the home of American football team, the Washington Redskins. Both Real Madrid and Arsenal had disappointing seasons last year by their lofty standards, and they'll be looking to use this friendly as a stepping stone towards improved results next year. A big crowd is expected in Washington for this international clash between these two high-powered clubs. The game will mark the Real Madrid debut of Eden Hazard, the most expensive transfer in football history. Hazard, whose transfer price was an astounding $113 million plus future payments, comes to Real Madrid after several strong years at Chelsea. The Belgian midfielder led the Blues to a UEFA Europa League title last season and was voted to the second best player at the 2018 World Cup. He also scored a remarkable 110 goals in his 7 years at Chelsea. The historically elite Real Madrid struggled last year, finishing third in La Liga and being bounced in the first knockout round of the UEFA Champions League. Los Blancos hope that Hazard can provide a much-needed spark to their club. Hazard is expected to play in the second half of tonight's game. Among the other stars on Real Madrid's squad are captain Sergio Ramos, Croatian World Cup hero Luka Modric, Spanish national team studs Nacho and Isco, German veteran Toni Kroos, and the mercurial Welshman Gareth Bale. Fans in DC will be itching to see this uber-talented team in action for just the second time since their La Liga campaign ended in May. That one other appearance since then, an international Champions Cup match, a 3-1 defeat at the hands of German squad Bayern Munich. Taking a look at Arsenal, they also disappointed last year, perhaps even more so and in more dramatic fashion than Real Madrid. After finishing 6th in the English Premier League in the 2017-2018 season, the Gunners looked to finish the top four to get them back to the UEFA Champions League. But last season, Arsenal finished 5th in the table, losing out to the 4th place Tottenham Hotspur by just a single point. Arsenal got another shot to make the Champions League, however. The winners of the Europa League automatically qualify for the Champions League next year, and Arsenal advanced to the Europa League finals, but the hopes were crushed again when they lost 4-1 to English rival Chelsea. Ironically, the star of that heartbreaking Europa League final was none other than Eden Hazard, who Arsenal will get to see again tonight when play Real Madrid. Arsenal's roster may be as stacked as Real Madrid's, but they certainly have some firepower. Their star is Gabonese striker Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who finished tied for the Premier League lead in goals scored last season with 22. When Aubameyang transferred from German club Borussia Dortmund to Arsenal a year ago, he became the most expensive African player ever, with a transfer price of $80 million. Other top players for Arsenal are German midfielder Mesut Ozil, French forward Alexandre Lacazette, and Armenian midfielder Enrique Mkhitaryan. Arsenal has already had some success in the International Champions Cup. They defeated a Bayern Munich team 2-1, which beat Real Madrid, and they took down Italian club Fiorentina by a 3-0 score. Regardless of the outcome, Arsenal and Real Madrid are sure to put on a show at FedEx Field tonight. Two other International Champions Cup matches take place tonight. Bayern Munich faces Italian club AC Milan in Kansas City, which is in the Midwest region of the United States. Also, Mexican team Guadalajara Chivas takes on Atletico Madrid of Spain in Arlington, Texas, in the southern U.S. These two ties kick off after the conclusion of the Real Madrid and Arsenal match. So, if you're still itching for football after that barn burner, you're in luck. That's all I have on today's football action. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Ryan. That's Brown Daily Herald sports writer and VOA intern Ryan Handel. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to Paris, where an exhibit explores football and its multifaceted link to people in politics and the Arab world and former colonial power France. Lisa Bryant visited a show at the Arab World Institute in the French capital and has this report.
In a darkened room, children watch the replay of the 1998 World Cup final that took place years before they were born. There's the intent face of Zinedine Zidane, the star French player of Berber origin. He counted among France's winning multicultural team that rallied the nation under the slogan Black, Blanc, Beurre, or Black, White, and Arab. It's one of the many snapshots of soccer's powerful role in shaping history and society in the Arab world, featured in this exhibit titled Soccer and the Arab World, the revolution of the round ball.
Football, Arab world, is always linked to the history and the country and also very linked to politics.
Show curator Aurélie Clément-Ruiz.
Because in the stadium and, you know, the fans and even the team are really the reflex of what's happening in the whole society.
The show examines soccer's role as a vehicle for political expression, women's emancipation, and soft power. Besides the Nations Cup, it was time to coincide with another major soccer event, Women's World Cup in France, which sparked a global debate about gender equality in sports. This exhibit looks at another game changer, focusing on Jordan's 16-year-old female soccer team.
It's really interesting to see all these women really want to play football, you know, even against their fathers, sometimes their families. They just want to play football. And most of the time, they can play football. It really shows something a little bit different from the idea that we all have of women in the Arab world.
The exhibit also traces the origins of Algeria's first team during their country's war of independence. It examines soccer's role in the Arab Spring uprisings and Qatar's winning but controversial bid to host the Middle East's first World Cup in 2022, and the evolution of France's own multicultural team to symbolize the country today. Teenager Ellie Mokoso said she loved the show, especially the parts dealing with youth and female soccer players. French Algerian fan Saber Gekout liked learning how the game evolved from his parents' time. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
Thanks, Lisa. The International Cricket Council, citing government interference in national sports, recently suspended Zimbabwe. This comes after the government expelled the National Board for Zimbabwe Cricket in June and put in place an interim board. Kudzai Zivinavashe has more details for us from Harare.
Zimbabwe's Minister of Youth, Sports, Arts and Recreation, Kirsty Coventry, is a decorated swimmer and two-time Olympic champion. She tweeted, "There was no government interference with Zimbabwe cricket." Former cricket player Tawanda Rufaro says the government did intervene, since the Sports and Recreation Commission, also known as SRC, is part of government with the ICC-affiliated Zimbabwe Cricket Board.
What really happened is, since the SRC is an extension of the government under Minister Kirsty Coventry's ministry, by suspending the board, it violated certain regulations in which the ICC doesn't want any government interference in the running of all its cricket boards.
Rufaro says the board that was expelled had poor management, poor fundraising, and was shockingly incompetent. Brian Matamba is a sports analyst who says this is not the first time Zimbabwe has been slapped with a suspension. He explains what the suspension means for Zimbabwe.
It's not looking bright for Zim cricket at all, because ICC is their biggest funder and they get annual grants. The current cycle up to 2023 is supposed to get around $94 million.
He adds that this means all the Zim cricket workers who are benefiting from the ICC grant are now unemployed. The suspension also means Zimbabwe will not be playing in any ICC events, putting a damper on international matches that were scheduled. As all this unfolds, the Sports and Recreation Commission Chairman, Gerald Mlojwa, says they have not heard from the ICC.
The SRC is waiting for formal communication from the ICC with respect to the suspension of Zimbabwe cricket. We can't go by media reports, even if those media reports emanate from the ICC itself. The ICC constitution indicates quite clearly that where a member has been suspended, that member must be notified of that fact in writing, along with the terms and conditions and timeframes which must be adhered to before the lifting of the suspension can be considered.
Mlojwa says they will keep all stakeholders posted once they receive the formal notification. He adds that they will treat the matter with the urgency it deserves. But for now, they are waiting for the written notification. Zimbabwe has 3 months to reinstate the board that was dismissed by SRC. And many sports fans are hoping this will be quickly resolved. Matamba says failure to resolve the matter within the given timelines may result in a ban. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Kudzai Zinavashe in Harare.
Thanks, Kudzai. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Let's begin with the Pac-Man.
I'm Manny Pacquiao, the fighter from the Philippines.
You might say Manny Pacquiao defeated one time, and he defeated Father Time, Nnamdi. At 40 years old, he becomes the oldest welterweight world champion in history. Your thoughts about his big split decision victory over Keith Thurman?
Sonny, that fight will go down as, personally, from watching the fight live, fight of the year. And the round one knockdown, I will call it too, round of the year. It was electric, Sonny. In a sold-out house at MGM Grand Arena, Las Vegas, we can't get anything that will top this for 2019. And I think everything was there. Hand speed, power, footwork. You saw the alley shuffle he did in the first knockdown, in the first round.
That's right.
At the age of 40, how many people can move that way and push the fight, the younger fighter, have the younger fighter retreating, destroying his bodies, giving him some body works that he almost got him out at the 10th round? I will give all the kudos to the global superstar, Manny Pacquiao.
The hand speed and footwork, Nnamdi, did that surprise you from the Pac-Man?
That surprised everybody, even all the boxing gurus. Nobody expected him to be that fast. Nobody expected him to attack the way he attacked. Mind you, it was pressure from round one. He took Keith Thurman's heart out in the first knockdown. Nobody expected Keith Thurman to go down in the first round. Nobody expected those body shots to fold Keith Thurman. So it was something we've never seen before in the fight game for a fighter at the age of 40.
Do you think Keith Thurman underestimated Manny Pacquiao?
Comments he made before the fight. Well, remember, Sonny, this is his second fight since 2017. He was just coming off injury. His last fight against Josecito Lopez was really not the best Keith Thurman. Remember, Keith Thurman has nothing to be ashamed of. He has beaten people like Sean Porter, Danny Garcia. It was not his night. So he underestimated? No, you don't. Yeah, well, you can underestimate, underrate a 40-year-old knowing that you are younger and you are undefeated. Also, you're the champion. So you have every reason to go into that ring with a swagger. And that's what he did Saturday night.
Manny Pacquiao said after the fight, Nnamdi, he has no intention of hanging up the gloves anytime soon.
I can still fight. I can give a good fight. I can entertain the fans. This is, you know, the ability that I have. This is not my own, but God gave me this ability to continue my career for a purpose. And I believe that I'm here to inspire the fans, inspire the people of boxing. Not only that, being a role model to everyone.
Who are possible future opponents for the Pac-Man?
Well, there are a couple of names we are looking at now. Remember, Sean Porter will take on Errol Spence right here in my backyard at the Staples Center, September 28th. We're looking at the winner of that fight to take on Manny Pacquiao in 2020. We're also looking at Danny Garcia, a young, strong welterweight that has a name. That is another fight we're looking at in 2020. Forget about Manny Pacquiao coming back to fight again in 2019. He's done. He's heading back to the Senate. But it's all about eyeballs. And look, this man was able to sell out MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Not many fighters can do it. Even the heavyweights cannot do it. So we're looking at the names that will mean something to the fight fans. The winner of Spence and Porter is a good one. Danny Garcia is a good one. Well, somebody else there from the UK. Amir Khan, Sonny.
Yeah, Amir Khan said he has some sort of agreement with Pacquiao. Is that correct?
Amir Khan says a lot of stuff. Amir Khan can self-promote himself. He just fought nobody in Saudi Arabia. All the oil money was in his pocket. He was a sham of a fight. Nobody wants to see Amir Khan and Manny Pacquiao. But it's an easy fight for Manny Pacquiao because all he needs to do is to chin, what we call chin, Amir Khan. When you tap Amir Khan on the chin, you can knock out Amir Khan yourself. He can run as much as he wants. As soon as you tag him in the chin, he goes down. So the way you look at it, it's going to be an easy payday. But really, does Manny Pacquiao need somebody that he will chase? No, it'd be a bad matchup. Manny Pacquiao needs a fighter that will come to him like Errol Spence or Sean Porter, whereby you stand and fight. With Amir Khan, you have to chase him all over the ring, and it's all about styles. And we'll see in the fight game, styles make fights.
Namdi, what about Floyd Mayweather? He was in the ring right before Pac-Man and Thurman started trading punches. What was Mayweather's role there in Vegas?
Well, most people don't realize that Floyd Mayweather is also the promoter of that fight Saturday night. That's why he was in the ring. He has a very strong promotional company. He was there because you don't count him out. We may wake up tomorrow and hear Floyd Mayweather coming out of retirement because he knows that a rematch with Manny Pacquiao after the Saturday night performance, we're talking about a fight that will bring in more than $1 billion globally. He's a businessman. We call him money. They don't call him money for nothing, So he's counting his money. He knows that if he says tomorrow, I want to fight Manny Pacquiao, you will jump out of the VOA building and head to the arena for that fight. After what you saw Saturday night, because a lot of people want to see that revenge for the rematch,
Namdi, you talk about Floyd Mayweather, the businessman. I understand Floyd is doing some deals with the world's most populous country, China.
Well, it was just announced today that Floyd Mayweather will become special advisor to the Chinese Boxing Federation as they get ready for 2020 Olympics boxing. Don't forget, Floyd Mayweather was once himself an Olympian, You got to give it to this man. As much as people hate him, he knows where the money is. He knows that Asia has the money. And if you're talking about global reach and global touch, now that he becomes an advisor for the Chinese Boxing Federation, he will be like the biggest thing in the boxing in China. So he knows he's making moves, and these are all calculated moves that will result to his bank account getting bigger and bigger every day. So hate him or love him, Manny Mayweather is the ATM.
Namdi, world heavyweight champion Andy Ruiz was also at Pac-Man Thurman. Where do we stand now with a rematch against Anthony Joshua?
Well, the way we're looking at right now, in the next few days, the rematch looks like it will be in the UK. And the date they are looking at is December 14th at the Cardiff Principality Stadium or the O2 Arena in the UK. I'm so glad they will not bring homeboy back to New York and put him in the same dressing room and put him in the same ring. Glad this fight will go back to the UK. He deserves to be home. He deserves to get his titles back. So remember also the Cardiff Principality Stadium holds 80,000 people, Sonny. The fight will sell out in the UK. And we wait and see because December 14th is closed. So we expect an announcement in the next few days.
Do you see AJ making some changes in his corner ahead of the rematch?
Well, Sonny, we talked about changes right after the fight with Ruiz. The way it looks now and the way it sounds now, he will not make any changes. And I am not happy about that. You know how I feel about going back to the rematch with the same coach. He needs not only a coach, he needs a new strength and conditioning trainer. Because, Sonny, go back and look at the fight. He was gassed after three or four rounds, Sonny. He was fighting on empty tank. So the question becomes, where's the strength coach? Where's the conditioning trainer? What have they been doing in Miami? That's why we said everything must change before the rematch. And the way it looks right now, he will go back into the rematch with the same trainer that's been training him since he was an amateur. To me, that is a bad, bad move, Sonny.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. In African athletics, world champion Helen Obiri of Kenya was one of the big winners over the weekend at the IAAF Diamond League meet in London. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Helen after her victory. Here's Andy.
Hello. How important is this win in the 5,000 in London, given that you've also run 14:20 as a meeting record, and you've beaten someone who should be one of your key rivals in the World Championships, Sifan Hassan?
I think this one helped me a lot because I've been focusing after Stanford. I didn't do well there. I had some pain in my legs. So I said this is like my first 5K because in Stockholm I fell down, I didn't do well. So I decided maybe I was in a good form. I said let me try and I don't care what number I can get. If I do like 14:25, it will give me motivation to run well in Doha. So probably this is my second BP. So I think I have something good in Doha.
Sifan Hassan has a very good finish, and you showed it. You have, on this day, an even better one because you were attacking her off that final bend, and you looked really good.
As you can see, I did like my all losses I did outside, like line two, because I didn't want any trouble. And during the last round, I said no. Let me be patient and wait because I knew Sivan was there. So I said maybe I try to go like 250 to go. So I said maybe if I can go, maybe she cannot catch me because I'm even quicker in the last 200 and 300.
And what are your plans in terms of racing and combining that with training in the build-up to the World Championships in Doha?
I think for now we have like 1.5 months to go. This one, I think it's enough for me. I'm going to prepare well, mountain, and what I believe, and I pray God to injury free. So maybe I can run well. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Helen.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, energetic Andy Edwards, for that interview with Kenyan athlete Helen Obiri, the reigning women's world champion at 5,000 meters. And that wraps up the July 23rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondet. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the African Continental Free Trade Area is now a reality that, if successful, will create a $3.4 trillion economic bloc. A closer look at Africa's free trade agreement on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
This is Science in a Minute.
A 2017 market research report suggests people around the world spend about $132.8 billion each year on dietary supplements such as vitamins and minerals. An enormous new analysis involving about 10 U.S. universities and medical institutions, 277 clinical trials, and almost 1 million research participants suggests that almost all vitamin, mineral, and other nutrient supplements or diets cannot be connected to longer life or protection from heart disease. The analysis shows only a low-salt diet, omega-3 fatty acid supplements, and perhaps folic acid, for some, might provide possible health benefits. The study also found that while most of the supplements weren't harmful, a combination of calcium and vitamin D might be linked to a slightly increased risk of stroke. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, thank you for listening to Border Crossings with Larry London. This month, Border Crossings is giving away a really cool Voice of America t-shirt. Hooray! If you want to win one of these awesome shirts, all you have to do is make a song request for our show. I see it, I like it, I want it. Tune into Border Crossings at 1500 Universal Time every weekday in August for your chance to win.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.